Last week, Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes opened across the country. For the music to this hugely popular remake, Burton turned to his usual collaborator, the composer Danny Elfman. I happen to love Elfman's music. He's created the delightful and quirky scores for a good chunk of the most delightful and quirky movies and TV shows of the last two decades. From The Simpsons to Beetlejuice to his score for Batman that won a Grammy. In his music for Planet of the Apes, percussion seems to dominate the score from beginning to end. And I asked Danny Elfman recently about why that is.
Percussion is my first love. If I hadn't gone whatever direction I went in my crazy life, I would have been some kind of ethnic percussionist. I started collecting percussion instruments when I was 18. I spent a year in West Africa. The only music, believe it or not, I've ever studied formally has been Indonesian gamelan. So I've built percussion instruments for about 10 years. I even had a kitchen percussion ensemble of all designed from things that you'd find in your kitchen cabinets, banged up pots and pans and measuring cups. I even had a Schlitz Celeste, tuned beer cans. I mean, I can't on the piano play my own compositions to save my life. If you had a gun to my head and say, play the theme to one of your movies and you named it, I'd have to say, shoot me. I can't do it.
The percussion that we hear in Planet of the Apes, are all of these real acoustic instruments? This isn't a digital?
No, it is creation. Digital. I've been collecting instruments and sampling them and increasing my library every year for the last, since we started the ability to do that almost 15 years ago digitally. And for movies where I'm going to play a lot of percussion, like Planet of the Apes, I'll go into the studio and I'll drag out a bunch of stuff and I'll call friends and have them bring down stuff and I'll have sounds in my head. So, for example, on Planet of the Apes, I spent about a week or so lining up all the sounds that I thought I wanted to use, having not written a note. And now I'm missing certain sounds. So then I'll call a session. I'll start for example, in this movie, hollow bamboo, PVC pipes with lambskins, banging really hard on timps so you're almost breaking the skin, something I could never ask a timpani player to do in an orchestra. You can't say, break it. In fact, if they did break it, it would stop the whole session for a while. So it's the type of thing I could do on my own. I can go and break things.
Do you have lots and lots of conversations with the director, in this case Tim Burton, about the direction you're going, or have you worked with him so long he just says, yeah, Danny, go, it sounds great, go do it?
Well, I mean, it's kind of in between. I mean, I watch the movie with him. We don't spend a long time talking about it. He really just tells me how he feels, and actually I prefer that directors just talk, how do you feel about the movie, what do you think emotionally, and don't talk musically, because that only confuses things in anytime I've ever gone there with the director. And so he'll just tell me how he feels about the movie. Then I go off on my own and start creating stuff. Then I go back and present all this kind of experimentation to Tim. And I'll try to attack a couple of big scenes, maybe something in the beginning, middle, and end. And now that I've got a bunch of thematic pieces worked out and ideas, I want to see how they're going to interrelate. So I'll attack a few really big scenes. And if I'm confident that thematically, that everything's working, that this melody can invert and connect with that melody and this thematic idea and motif can like interface with that one, only then do I go back to the beginning and then I start the score from top to bottom. Once I start writing, it's like a freight train. There's no stopping. There's no thinking about it. It goes. I go completely on instinct. I've got all my major building blocks, and I've got a rough architecture of what I want to do. Then I dive in and don't think about it at all. I let the melodies lead me. I let the score take me anywhere it wants to go. And I'm often totally surprised by things that pop up. A melody will pop up. I didn't expect it here. I wrote it for this character, but here it's working over this one. I never fight it. So whatever checking of things out or like wondering, that's all on the early side. Once I begin writing the first scene, I'm not wondering about anything. I'm absolutely and completely unstoppable, and I'm just focused into one scene at a time, and nothing can pull me away. It doesn't matter what anybody says.
Is there some gesture or piece of music or theme that you had an idea for in this film that ended up working better for something else and you just ran with it?
There's constant surprises. We had to do the album before the score was completely finished. So Sony Classics did something to me they'd no one had ever done. They said, you know what, have fun, elaborate, come up with some stuff that's just inspired by even. And I said, wow, no one's ever asked me to do that. So I did. I actually elaborated on pieces. I did a deconstruction of the main titles. But most importantly, I created a little suite of a piece of music that wasn't in the movie, but felt really cool to me. It felt like it had something to do with the movie, but I hadn't written it for it. And it was called the Ape Suite Number 2. Well, it went on the album. Tim loved it, and so it backed itself into the actual film score from my imagination not having any picture running, which is hysterical because it's actually one of my favorite pieces of score in the movie.
That's composer Danny Elfman. His music can be heard in the new Planet of the Apes.